all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the movement of Christ. Brought to you by the Great King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
In the hands of our pastor, Pastor John E. Montgomery.
God
praise the Lord. Praise
God
the Lord.
God bless you. God bless you. As we look unto the Lord, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this opportunity again to study your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people and the faithfulness of your own word to us. And God, as we open this word tonight, we pray that the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching ministry will meet us in the text and unfold, disclose truth on a personal level, meeting us where we are, and then lifting us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the believers said, amen. God bless you. Amen. All right. Very good. Thank you, sir. Amen. Well, good to see you all tonight, especially after the storm. And I see some of you all got the, how many of you all got the one call today? I praise the Lord. All right, very good. All right, I again am inclined to continue our teaching with dealing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what purpose do they serve. And it's important to recognize and want to ask what I asked earlier today, how many fruit of the Spirit are there? Fruit, can I get some? Okay, sister? Nine. How many gifts of the Spirit are there? Nobody from 12 noon answer. You said nine? Okay, very good. There are nine gifts of the Spirit, just as there are nine fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to go through this one tonight. Next week, I'll probably take you through a companion walk between the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. But I want to break this one down today and share with you what purpose do they serve. Now, God, through the Holy Ghost, gives us gifts. Now, there's obviously a purpose for the gifts. And when you recognize that purpose and then apply that purpose to your life, you will be far more productive in everything you do if you trust God for the gifts. First of all, the gifts of the Holy Spirit recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, read this way, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, one of the reasons why you know, again, in the receiving of the gifts that the Holy Ghost is manifested is through the actual experiential reality of the gift being in you. In other words, you can't have the gift without the giver. The Holy Ghost is the giver of the gifts, so if you have the gifts, it's a confirmation that the Holy Ghost is manifested in you. So that's important to know and to recognize. All right, and the purpose of it is so that every man can profit with all. Not just in the sacred and not just in the secular, but in totality. Which means when the presence of the person and power of the Holy Ghost is real on the inside of you, there are no limitations to what you can do, what you can achieve, where you can go, what God can do through you in any area, any arena, on any avenue, in any situation. So one of the things you got to realize is because the Holy Ghost is designed in his purpose to minister to you, to be able to give you the what is known as the unfair advantage. See, we're in this world and we have an unfair disadvantage, if you will, because Satan is the prince of the air. This world is not our home. We are sojourners. The people in this world have an unfair advantage over us. Why? Because this is their home. They got the home field. And you got to understand that and keep this in mind. And when we say the world doesn't play fair, the devil doesn't play fair, no, he doesn't. And when the sooner you realize this and recognize this, you will not be fooled and overthrown so easily by the enemy, if at all, because you begin to realize whenever he shows up on the scene, he has a threefold purpose. What is that? The devil comes not but for what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So you know every time he shows up, he's got one or all three in mind against you or your plan or your purpose. So knowing this, you know, you're able to be far more wise in your decisions, in what your confessions are, etc. Now, the Holy Ghost's job is to bring back teach you all things. He is to give you the reality of what truth is about any situation, any circumstance, any predicament, any problem, anything. The Holy Ghost's job is to give you the truth about that situation. Now, somebody's trying to pull something over your eye, the Holy Ghost can pull the scabs off. So they can't fool you. And we're gonna talk about some of these gifts that gives you some of that reality. But what you're gonna realize is that's why it's so important for the believer to operate in the Holy Ghost in this world. Now, you have to work many times in ungodly places in this world, but God should be a part of the process of you every day so that you can walk in wisdom. Daniel, who was brought into the kingdom of Darius and operated there, he was exalted to the highest level that could be obtained by a man who was not the king. He was not one of the countrymen. He was literally a foreigner. And God gave him favor because he walked in wisdom. There was a spirit of excellence in him, so much that the world had to pay attention to him. Now, he didn't fall prey to the world, but he made the world pay attention to him. That's walking in wisdom, knowing how to do that. He was led by God's leading, by that unctioning of the Holy Spirit, by being in prayer and fellowship with God. Well, again, Jesus made clear that he was going to send another comforter. That's the Holy Ghost's job, not only to teach you all things, but bring all things to your remembrance. I mean, how many times have you forgotten some stuff? I mean, you might forget more stuff now than some people in this world will ever know. But when you need to know it, the Holy Ghost will bring it back up to you and be like, man, I learned that in Sunday school 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. But when you need it, it's there. And the Holy Ghost's job is to reference all of that, bring that back up for the appropriate moment so that you can walk in that area, arena, situation with victory. See, that's when the person of the Holy Ghost is residing on the inside of you. He's a ready reference for every situation, and he's a ready power to, I mean, go against anything that comes against you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So all of this is important because, again, when you begin to recognize certain things about the Word and about the purpose of the Holy Ghost being in you, functioning through gifts, it'll be a blessing to you. Again, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Which means one man can have one gift and one man can have all nine gifts. And here's what you need to understand, that the word says, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, there's another word that says for us to covet the best gifts. It should be our desire to want the best gifts that will be a blessing to the greatest people to operate in. The gifts were never given to the givers to be selfish. If God gave you a gift, the gift was never ever for you. It was for those to whom God would send you to minister. That's why Jesus on the cross was quoted what the prophet said when it said, "Physician, heal thyself." Jesus could not heal himself because it would go against the reality of the divine plan for him to come down and save man. So if he would have gotten off of that cross, would we be saved today? No, he was the only one who could pay the price. So if he had healed himself in this context, then that meant all of us would have died and gone to hell and lived eternally there. But Jesus could not do it because the gift of salvation was not for him, but for who? It was for us. And the same way it is with the gifts. And so therefore, that's why Paul himself, who went around healing folk, putting aprons and handkerchiefs on his body and sending them to far off countries and lands and places. And people would get that anointing off of that handkerchief, put it on their body, and instantly be healed. And he prayed three times to the Lord to deliver him of an issue he had and couldn't get healed. Are y'all hearing me here? So it helps you to realize, don't seek gifts so you can get yourself. Ooh, I'm gonna keep this just for me. Cause when I need a healing AD, I ain't gonna be going around healing everybody cause I might run out. So when I need a healing, I'm gonna touch myself. It don't work like that. So we just want you to recognize and realize how all of this works, okay? First of all, let's look at the purpose and the duty found in Ephesians 4 and 12. There are three things. You can turn there, but I've spotlighted them for you. This is what you need to recognize about the purpose and duties of the gift. First of all, it's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the maturing and the completing of the saints. There are some things God's assigned your life to do. The Holy Ghost needs to give you gifts in order to complete those assignments, to fulfill those things, to become more perfectly mature in some things. So that's why you got to understand it is a process. It is a growing and grooming and going process that God's Spirit gives to us to complete those things. So the first point is it's for the perfecting of the church, making the church all that the church ought to be so that the church can function and flow the way Jesus Christ designed it to flow, not only in his presence, but in his absence. Next, it's for the work of the ministry. There are some things we will never ever be able to do in ministry or any other ministry will ever be able to do in its true calling without the gifts of the Holy Ghost. See, the reason why we who are here in the church are here, as we mature and grow and become perfected, it is so that we can do the work of the ministry. Jesus went back to the Father. He told the disciples, "Occupy till I come." In other words, I want you to do the work of the ministry that I've empowered you to do while I'm going away. We don't sit here and fold our hands and pray and sing our songs and get together and color our windows so folk can't see out and they can't see in and we can't see out. And we talk about, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus." That's not the work of the ministry. When Jesus Christ was crucified and the disciples ran up in the upper room and stayed locked up in there because they were scared. They didn't know how to handle ministry without Jesus. They didn't know what to do. So they got together and they got up there and prayed. Jesus had risen from the dead. One of the sisters had to go say, come see, he's risen. They got an attitude with her. They didn't believe. It's all in the Gospels. He told them, "Tell my disciples and Peter, meet me in Galilee. Get up out of that upper room." Sunday evening came, they all gathered up in the room. Thomas talking much noise. "I won't believe he done got up out of the grave till I can touch my hands and the handprints of his hand and thrust my hand in his side." Talking all that smack, Jesus shows up. "Come here, Thomas." "Me, Lord?" "Yeah, you. Didn't you say last Sunday night that you won't believe that I showed up until you can put your hands in the prints of my hand and thrust your hands in my side?" "Yeah, come on, do it." He said, "You know, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are they who believe and have not seen." Now again, it's all for, again, the work of the ministry. Jesus went around. He had a pedestrian mentality as related to ministry. Do you know where his headquarters was? Can anybody tell me where his headquarters was? Well, one of the reasons why you don't really get, I mean, a firm and solid place as to where his headquarters was, because his headquarters was a moving, constant ministry. His headquarters was wherever he was. Wherever he showed up, it's headquarters central, right here. It could be on a mountaintop. It could be in a valley low. It could be in somebody's house. Wherever he was, that's where the headquarters was. That's where ministry was. He did the work of the ministry. And many of us have it twisted. The church many times do not engage in missionary ministry, but rather stationary ministry. No wonder we don't use, you know, missionary in our statements anymore, like the Greater King David Missionary Baptist Church. Because it would really be the Greater King David Stationary Baptist Church. Because many of us are not doing what God has commissioned us to go out and do. Go ye into all the world. That's the conclusion of the 28th chapter of Matthew. Doesn't say, but stand up behind stained glass windows and have church on Sundays and Bible study on Wednesdays. It says go into all the world. We're preaching and teaching and baptizing. That's the purpose. And so you can't do that and not make some movement. Now, of course, we have advent of radio and television, so the word goes out by way of, you know, airwaves, etc. And thank God for that. That's about the closest thing that makes us missionary. But that word was literally taken every place, moving, doing the work of the ministry. Next, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's another reason why all nine gifts ought to be operational in every local fellowship. Because there may be some needs that someone has that when they come into this fellowship, they are able to get those needs met by somebody in the body who has that gift. Amen. Now, if it's for the perfecting of the saints, and if it's for the work of the ministry, and if it's for the edifying of the body of Christ, then it's obviously essential for every local fellowship. And the enemy has confused the issue of the gifts of the Spirit, and with particular references to tongues, etc., and the operation of gifts that really do bless the body of Christ. People don't believe in supernatural divine healing anymore. No more than many of them believe in speaking in tongues anymore. They say that was during the time of Jesus and the time of the disciples. The church at its birth was claimed to be the church at its best. And I could see the excitement, the newness, and all that around it. But the church should be better and stronger now because the church at its birth was a baby. We ought to be far more mature and grown. If somebody said you were the best thing when you were born and you just grew worse and worse as you grew older, something is wrong with that picture. Is that not right? You know, what could you really do as a baby for yourself? Nothing. You couldn't be blessing nobody else as a baby because everybody had to be a blessing to you. So at least you start learning how to handle yourself as you mature and grow. And then after you learn how to handle yourself, then you start learning how to be able to handle other folk and situations and circumstances, et cetera, et cetera. So the reality is it helps you to be bring edification to the body of Christ when you learn the purpose and duty of the gifts. Now I want to talk about the revelation and disclosure gifts, because here's some things that you're going to see that make sense when you understand how they operate. The word of wisdom, it's spiritual guidance, the ability to operate effectively in the divine knowledge imparted by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you have a word of wisdom, it literally means you have the word of God. Listen, the word of wisdom is simply the word of God. Every piece of wisdom that God's gonna give you has its basis and foundation in the word of God. It is the divinely written mind of God, inspired and given to man. That is the wisdom of God. That's the word of wisdom. the spiritual guidance that the Holy Ghost gives you through the Word. How many times have situations come up and in that God will bring a scripture up in your heart, to your mind, and you were going to do this, but the Holy Ghost brought a scripture up. And you were going left, and the Holy Ghost said, go right. And you're like, well, I want to go left. The Holy Ghost brought up the spirit, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine, all right, you're going. You turn and go the opposite way now. He start with spiritual guidance. See, that's one of the reasons why when the Word gets in you, the Word can do by the Holy Ghost the things it's designed to do to get you to do what you need to do. And the Holy Ghost brings those things back to you. What's the purpose? To help give you that guidance, to help you to effectively make the right decisions that will glorify God and give you the good. All right? Also, there is a word of knowledge, not to be connected as the same as a word of wisdom. Well, then what is a word of knowledge? It's divine information imparted by God through the Holy Spirit for a specific time and purpose. Now, when you've got a word of knowledge, God has given you that word of knowledge for a person or a situation or a circumstance for a specific period. It is time sensitive, people. Word of knowledge. Somebody's going through something. Instantly, the Holy Ghost, if you have that ability to speak the word of knowledge, he gives you that word for that person in that season, in that time, when they need a word right now. Right now. The Holy Ghost gives you that word, and it's for a specific person, for a specific period, for a specific purpose. And it is so that God will give to them the necessary information to write whatever was wrong, to do or to say or to bring into the reality, that God is giving them a word that otherwise, if it is not given at that time, becomes irrelevant after the fact. That's why I say it's time sensitive. That's why when God has, you know, given you, and you may not realize you have that gift or that ability, but God is telling you to speak to someone, you don't know the instant that he tells you to do that, that 10 minutes later might be too late. You might be at a gas station, don't even know the person getting gas. Holy Ghost tell you, tell that person when they leave this place, don't go left, don't go. It might seem stupid to you, but they might be one. If I go left, I'm going and I'm gonna take somebody's life because I'm just so mad, whatever. I might take my own life. But if I go right, I mean, I'm warned with this. I don't know what to do. And so the Spirit of the Lord gives you a word of knowledge. That, listen, that is for that. And he tells you, this person right now, do it. You're like, I don't know, people gonna think I'm crazy. Who cares? Amen. Wouldn't you rather be thought of as crazy and do what the Holy Ghost said do and get that off your conscience rather than to not obey him and say, well, that's probably the deal. I don't know, maybe that ain't God. I don't know, something told me. And then you see on news that same person got killed or killed 20 people. And you could have been the person that God used to turn them around. So it's a timely word, and it's different from the word of wisdom because that's spiritual guidance, but this is divine information imparted by God through the Holy Spirit for the specific time and purpose. And so you got to be sensitive to that. Now, these again are revelation and disclosure gifts. Third one is discerning spirits, to recognize or distinguish between true and false spirits. My brothers and sisters, if you really want to be able to be effective in this world, you really ought to pray God gives you a discerning spirit. How many of us can honestly say if we had, looking back in our lives, discerning spirits, we would not be in predicaments 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years later that we're in now that we wouldn't have been had we had discerning spirit to know what was true and what was false and obeyed it? See, because sometimes people can look at you and lie in your face so sincerely, and your heart just thinks they are so sincere. Or they can listen to this and believe that they are right. But you, if you have the discerning spirit of the Holy Ghost, then it's going to tell you whether or not that spirit is true or false. That person may be sincere, but sincerely wrong. They may not be trying to deceive you, but they may be deceived. So if I'm deceived and I'm speaking what I believe, guess what I'm going to give out? Deception. Because I've been what? Deceived. Now that's why the Bible says, try the Spirit to see whether it be of God. It does not say try the Spirit by the Spirit. Because if I try the Spirit by the Spirit, what happens if both of those spirits are the same? I'm going to think it's right, because if they're wrong and I'm wrong, we're going to agree. How can two walk together except they be agreed or agree on something? Light and darkness will never ever agree. Never ever agree. Because when light comes on, what does darkness do? It flees. Be like, here come light again. It goes. You don't ever see light and darkness having fellowship together. They can't stand one another. And you're not going to get truth and falsehood fellowship together. They can't stand each other. And so you got to realize it's important to understand discerning spirits. I mean, you'd be able to tell when your children are lying to you. Now, most of you all have some sense of that on some level, but a lot of that's on, you know, natural. I mean, you don't realize how many poor teachers have gotten, you know, in some predicaments because a parent didn't know when her child or his child was lying and went there and wanted to jump on the teacher when their child, and then when it all came down to it and found out their child was wrong, then they won't try to half kill a child in everybody's presence because they heard them. But they done hurt so many people in the process because they ain't got a spirit of discernment. I know my child. Do you? You know what you know of your child, but you don't necessarily know your child, because truth of the matter is you don't really fully know yourself. And you've been knowing yourself long before you knew your child. How many times have you done something you never thought you would have done? Said some things you never thought you would have said? Because you never reached that point before. So how can you say you'll never do this when you've never been put in a predicament to do it? So I don't think I'll do this. But push me one more time. I'm going to pray, but you know there comes a time. You know, and some, I mean, we're being funny, but you know, that's reality. But you can tell whether somebody has a spirit of truth or falsehood about them through the discernment of the Spirit. That's why you want to know how to do that. I said before, I want to share this with you. You know, Jesus was asking his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said Jeremiah, John the Baptist, you know, Elijah, whatever. He said, but who do you say I am? And Peter received this word. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Let them know you got a word of knowledge, man. Ain't nothing about Peter knew nothing about this. God gave this to you. Peter got big-headed. A few verses later, Jesus tell him, I've got to go and die on the cross, and I've got to suffer and be. Peter like, ho, wait a minute. I rebuke that spirit. Now, God revealed to him that he was the Son of God. Got that right. That was a word of knowledge. Now, this other word Peter is speaking is a word of flesh. He got self-righteous all of a sudden. Well, you know, Lord ain't really spoke to y'all. He spoke to me, so I'm going to tell him, you can't do this. Jesus turns around because he has a discernment of spirit and says, get thee behind me who? Not get thee behind me, Peter, because he knew it wasn't Peter. He knew it was who? See, when you have that discernment, you'll be able to attack the spirit and not the person. Too many of us get mad with the person because we don't understand that it's